Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the phrases that I've been hearing so often in these days is, oh, these are just unprecedented times. This is unprecedented. And somebody quipped, and I don't know who it was, but they said, I'd like to go back to the precedented times, please. Many of you know I was a journalism major in my undergrad, and I really do feel for my classmates and colleagues who are in the news gathering and reporting business because they are drinking out of a fire hose right now. Things just keep coming at us. And I got to be honest with you, it's given me my fair share of restless nights. Now, don't worry, I'm not ill or anything like that, but between all of the things, between the information about the pandemic and now learning how many leaders of our nation have been infected with it, between all of the vitriol with this election season and all of the concerns about our economy, I just worry about how it's affecting my children and my wife, my parents, and of course, worried about you. It's just a lot to take in. And I suspect that I'm not the only one that is tossing and turning at night these days. It's been over 100 years since our nation has gone through a pandemic like this. Yesterday, we saw a little glimpse of quote-unquote normalcy in this town, but that was a different college football Saturday in Athens, Georgia than we've had in quite some time, maybe ever. Everything is just weird these days. And everyone I know seems to have an uneasy feeling about, well, everything. And so given all of the uneasiness in the world, given all of the uncertainty, I think it's perfectly natural for people to begin asking some big questions, some big faith questions. Questions like, does God even notice or care what's going on around here? And who is going to save us from this mess? And that leads us into some conversation about our biblical text for today. As many of you know, this fall we're doing something of a high-level overview of the Old Testament. And last week, Carol read for us the portions of the saga of Joseph in the very tail end of the book of Genesis. And this morning we turn the page from Genesis to Exodus. And the book of Exodus opens on an ominous note. A new king in Egypt called a pharaoh. A new pharaoh came to power. And the narrator tells us that this new pharaoh did not know anything about Joseph. Did not know anything about that story, about how a Hebrew, about how an Israelite had made it possible for Egypt to thrive and prosper while the rest of the world suffered through a famine. And so when this new pharaoh looked out over the nation of Egypt and saw the descendants of Abraham and Sarah living among the Egyptian people, Pharaoh did not see a prosperous, thriving immigrant community. Pharaoh did not see neighbors. Pharaoh didn't even see fellow human beings made in the divine image. He saw that the Hebrews, the Israelite people, were different. And that difference made their existence a threat in Pharaoh's mind. And so Pharaoh began to act out of his fear and insecurity. Pharaoh instituted a systemic removal of immigrant children from their parents by ordering that the Hebrew baby boys be thrown into the Nile River. Pharaoh presided over the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth, and yet Pharaoh saw to it that Egypt's wealth was built on the backs of Israelite slaves. And when those people of God asked for 3 days to go into the desert and worship the Lord, Pharaoh scoffed, said, "I knew you were lazy." And he pressed down harder, requiring God's people to make bricks for Egypt's monumental glory, but then turning around and denying them the resources needed to make those bricks. And then, when their quotas were not met, Pharaoh ordered them beaten without mercy. In Egyptian culture, in ancient Egyptian culture, that is, the Pharaoh was more than a human king or political leader or even a military leader. In Egyptian culture, in ancient Egyptian culture, the Pharaoh was viewed as a living god. The supreme leader was worshipped as one of the gods. Later cultures, including the Romans, developed a similar train of thought around the Caesars. In these cultures, the person at the top of the governing structure wasn't just an office holder. They were viewed as gods on earth. And so as the book of Exodus continues to unfold, you can feel the tension building in the narrative, because the promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah, namely that their descendants would be more numerous than the stars of the heavens and that all the families of the earth would be blessed in and through them, that promise is in danger once again. Will God's people perish under Pharaoh's regime? Or will the God of Israel find a way again? Well, if you've ever seen Cecil B. DeMille's classic movie, The Ten Commandments, or maybe the animated feature, The Prince of Egypt, or if you've just read Exodus, you know that God sent a Hebrew named Moses to demand that Pharaoh release God's people. And when Pharaoh refuses, God sends a series of 9 plagues upon the land of Egypt. But still, Pharaoh's heart remains hardened, and he will not let God's people go. So then God announces to Moses the coming of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn of every living thing in Egypt, the animals, the livestock, humans too. And that brings us to a troubling story for today. So listen for a word from God from Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 13, and portions of chapter 13. Listen now for a word from God. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord." The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by strength of hand. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this observance in this month. You shall tell your child on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Truly, this is a terribly frightening and troubling story. It's full of death and despair. And it's one with which modern biblical scholars and theologians and ethicists continue to wrestle. But I invite us to consider this story from today from the perspective of a cosmic battle. To read this narrative as a struggle between two competing value systems. Let's consider first the value system of Pharaoh's Egypt. In Pharaoh's Egypt, any diversity within the population of Egypt was considered to be a threat to Egyptian sovereignty and national identity. So in Pharaoh's Egypt, the people of God living in Egypt are not people made in the image of God. They are a problem that must be solved. In Pharaoh's value system, there can never be enough. Ever greater storehouses must be built for the glory of Egypt. And consumption, at least for those at the top of Egyptian society, is the name of the game. In Pharaoh's value system, might makes right, and the goal of life is to accumulate by whatever means necessary, and then try to take it all with you in the afterlife to come. But on the other side of the story, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob operates with a very different set of values, and what we see happening in the story is these two value systems coming together in conflict. For example, in the value system that the God of the Israelites presents, if you look closely, you can see in the text that diversity is assumed and accounted for right from the beginning. Did you notice there's not an assumption about household size? So take a lamb for your household, and if one household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join with its neighbor, and the lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. In the value system of God, there's enough to go around, and everybody eats. But do you notice? There are no leftovers. No leftovers. "You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains, you shall burn." Could it be that in a time of famine, there was an effort to store and accumulate food, to buy it and sell it? But in the value system of God, everybody eats because of the goodness of God, not because of the dictates of the marketplace. And so what we see happening in these terrifying and troubling stories is really something of a cosmic battle happening between Pharaoh, who was considered not just to be a political leader, but to consider to be a god on earth, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what's being laid out here for us in this story is a juxtaposition between two competing value systems, between two very different ideas about what it means to be human, about what it means to live together in community. So here's what I want you to remember, my friend. You are cherished. You are loved. You are worthy, not because of what you can produce, not because of what you can consume, not because of what you can do for anybody else, not because of what you've done or not done or said or not said. You are loved and cherished and worthy because you were made in the image of God, and you belong to God. Full stop. God would rather go to the cross for you than live without you. You are God's chosen, holy, and beloved. And because God has rescued you from sin and death in Jesus Christ, because you have been marked by the blood of the Lamb in the waters of your baptism, it is because of God's deliverance of you that you then are called to live your life according to Kingdom of God values, out of a sense of deep gratitude for what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. My friend, are we not being presented these days with some differing ideas about what it means to be human, about what it means to live in community these days? And I've noticed that every 4 years, at least in this country, it seems to me that the campaigns become less about ideas and more about a personality. And candidates for the highest elected office in the land keep seeming to say to us that if we will but vote for them, all of our wildest dreams will come true. Or if we don't vote for them, or if the other person wins, then our nation will be visited by a series of plagues of flies and locusts and boils and sores. My friend, I beg of you, don't forget for a moment that in these times in which we live, elections come and elections go. Leaders come and leaders go, and leaders have their place, and we absolutely should pray for our leaders and to pray for their health and safety. Absolutely. But my friend, the world already has a Savior. And His name is Jesus of Nazareth, whom we, His followers, call the Christ, the Messiah. God has delivered you, my friend. God has saved you from sin and death in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God delivers you that you might come to this table today. Come to this table, not because you're worthy, but because you're hungry. Come to this table, not because you're ready, but because you're thirsty. Come to this table, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. For God has provided this meal to sustain you for the journey ahead. But remember, you don't ever come to this table alone. In the kingdom of God, everybody eats, and everybody eats together, and there's always enough to go around. When we come to this table, When this bread is broken and this cup is poured, one of the things that we remember is that the Church of Jesus Christ is far bigger than the six of us gathered in this room right now, or however many people are gathered around your tablet or phone right now, or wherever you may happen to be. We call this the communion of the saints, and we come as the whole household of God, God's covenant people, whom God has called and blessed in order that we might be a blessing to all the families of the earth. We come to this table remembering who it is that leads us. Our Savior does not rule with spear and scepter. Our Savior rules with washbasin and towel. Our Savior does not give us policy plans or sound bites. Our Savior gives us His body that we might be fed. Our Savior gives us His blood that we might seek and offer forgiveness. We come to this table as people of the kingdom of God. When we come, we remember what the Lord has done for us when we came out of Egypt. Thanks be to God. Amen.